material in the shiur is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide any legal or halachic advice or opinion. The shiur is not a substitute to obtain any competent legal and halachic advice from your rabbin and or lawyer, and consequently you should not act on the basis of the shiur without such advice. Okay, so that's posted. So we're going to start a series on buying and selling. And like we did with the other ones, for me at least, the easiest way to learn these complicated halachas is to take real cases and like skip around, and it's like a backdoor approach instead of just going through Choshe Mishpat Hilchas Nekachem Emkar. And I think the most nogeya cases are those that involve people wanting, you know, buyer's remorse, when you want to return something. You bought it and you want to return it because it's not the way you expected it, or the price you think you got gypped on it. Right, so we're going to start with a few shiurim on Ona'a, which is an Issa D'Oraisa. In Parshas Bahar, you're not allowed to cheat someone price-wise. We'll be talking about cases where you knew what you were buying and that was no issue. The thing that you bought was as advertised, that's no problem. But afterwards, you had reason to believe that the price was too high, or the seller had reason to believe that he sold it too low. So in that case, in what cases can you return it and what cases can you not? Now, of course, if there's no questions asked money back guarantee, so then there's no shaila. They said you can give it back. We're talking in cases where there is no money back guarantee, like you bought it from a private homeowner, or you bought chickens and then you found out that they're cheaper other places and they normally don't take them back. You know, things that you normally can't return, can you return them on the basis that you think the price was wrong?
Is the merchandise
open already? It'll make a difference, yeah. That shouldn't make a difference. If the price was wrong, it's a mechav tov, so I want my money back. So the case tonight, this is from the Sefer Mishpatai Tishmaru, which also just came out, Toshin Samach, and we'll use other svarim that deal with the same shaila in different ways, but his case is like this. Ruvain went to a store and bought a microwave oven. I'm sorry, that's the wrong case. That's another issue. And here's the case. A Jew went to buy an electric urn for his house. He went to a department store to buy this electric urn. And he paid 130 shekel. When he got to his house, he found out that that same exact brand of electric urn, you can buy at the other store for 105 shekel. So now he goes back to the storekeeper and says, you cheated me more than a sixth, because we know that the Chachamim said that the mitzvah of losono, not cheating, has three different levels. They said that if the discrepancy was less than 1/6, less than around 16%, so then we say people make an error in that amount and we assume that there's nechila. If it was exactly a sixth, you can get the difference in your money back and keep the thing. And if it's more than a sixth, that we say that's such a big difference, that's a mekach tos. So over here was the difference between 130 shkalim and 105 shkalim, which is more than that 16%. It's more than a 1/6 difference. So he said, I want the whole mekach should be batal. It should be a null and void sale because the price was more than 1/6 higher than it should be. And the storekeeper said, electric urns have a range of prices. There's no set price. And the halachas of Ona'a, of price fraud, apply only to things that have a set price. And this does not have a set price. And the second thing the storekeeper said was, everyone knows that when you come to my store, I have a specialty store. Everything in my store costs more than other stores because my store is special. And based on that, you should have known that things cost more in my store than others, and you bought it anyway, and you have no right to return it. Right, so that's the dispute. The buyer said, very simply, this electric urn at the other store down the street sells it for 25 shkalim less, more than 16%, more than 1/6 less. And the storekeeper comes back with two arguments. First of all, he says, there's a range of prices. This thing isn't limited to a set price. There's electric urns sell different prices, different stores. There's a little bit of a range. So the halachas of Ona should not apply. And second of all, my store is a specialty store. My store is special. And as such, I have the right to sell it for a higher price than the other stores. But those are the two issues. So the first issue we have to discuss is that I think there's a common conception that the halachas of Anah don't apply nowadays because, like what the storekeeper said, there's such a range of prices, the whole thing doesn't apply. So is that a true argument or not? Right? Do the halachas of Anah apply nowadays? Can someone say there's no such thing as Anah nowadays? Okay, so that's the first issue we have to discuss. Okay, there's a Rambam. The first thing on the handout, the Rambam, once again, we'll first talk about, is there Ona on things that don't have a set price? So there's a Rambam that says like this. The Gemara talks about cases where you sell a davar she'eino mesuyam. You sell something which does not have a, it's not clear what you're selling. The Rambam says, you say, see that stack of wheat over there? I'm selling you that stack of wheat for $100. And you're not sure, you'd estimate how much is in there. You're not, there's not clear how much wheat is in there. You just see that stack of wheat. He says, you see this bag full of figs? I'll sell you this bag full of figs. Now, the fig, we know there are figs in it. But you're not sure how many. I'll sell it to you for $100. You see the cellar filled with barrels of wine. I'll sell you the cellar for the barrels for $1,000. You're not sure how much is in it, but you know it's wine. So in all those cases, the Rambam paskins, the sale is valid. Memkarokayim, even though it ends up that they thought that, well, it's probably 50 barrels of wine, and they found out that it's 40 or 60, it's still valid for the amount that they thought it was. V'yeshlehem hu no yufi hashar shebashot, but it is subject to the laws of Ona'ah. In other words, the chiddush is that it's a good sale. So the opposite case is if you sell a, see that behind that, the door number one, I'm selling you whatever's in that, behind that door for $1,000, so then the sale's not valid because you don't know what's there. It's like gambling. It's not a good kinyan. The Rambam though says, if you know what you're buying, you're just not sure about the amount. You're not sure how much is in it. Right? So he's saying if you know what it is, you're just not sure about the amount, so then the Rambam paskins is a good sale, except you only are kona the amount that you thought was in there. If there was extra or not enough, so then you make a price adjustment based on halachas of Ona'ah. So that's fine. However, the Beis Yosef asks a kasha on the Rambam from the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia seems to have a similar case. The Gemara says, "Hacholech lachlav aziza," if someone was going to milk his goats, the ligzos es v'chelu, where he's going to shear off his, the wool off his sheep. The Lirdo says Kavarit, or he wants to take honey from his beehives. And on the way, a friend meets him and he says, I will sell you all the milk that I get from my goats, or all the sheep I get from, all the wool I get from my sheep, or all the honey I get from the beehives for a certain price. So the halacha is, the Gemara says it's mutter. It's a mutter transaction, and the person acquires whatever it was. He said $100, he gets all the milk, all the wool, all the honey. So the Beis Yosef es Akasha, this is the same case that the Rambam said. This is just like the case the Rambam said. You're selling a known item, but of an unknown quantity, where the Rambam said the sale is good, however, it's subject to the laws of Ona'ah. You only acquire the amount that you thought the price should be. The honey goes for a dollar a pound, and you thought there was going to be 50, you gave him $50. You should only acquire $50 pounds worth of honey. And the Gemara doesn't say that it's subject to the laws of Ona'ah. So that's the Beis Yosef's kasha on the Rambam. How can the Rambam say that it's subject to the laws of Ona'ah where there is an indefinite amount? We see the Gemara says that the sale is good, and it doesn't say that it's subject to price fraud. So the Beis Yosef says a big chiddush because of this kasha. He says, you see from this that the Rambam holds that the laws of Ona'ah, the laws of price fraud, do not apply to things that don't have a set price. the Rambam's halacha was talking about wheat and figs and wine, barrels of wine, those have a set price. In the days of Chazal, there was a shar, there was a set price. There was a, everyone knew that this year the wheat is going to be a certain amount, and then all the farmers come and sell the wheat at that certain fixed price. Or same thing with wine, same thing with figs. When there's a set price, so that's where the laws of Onah apply. That's where you can say, if you're more than a sixth off, the whole thing is bottled. The sale is null and void. But things like milk and honey, where there's not a set price, because there, whatever the Beis Yosef says, you sell it for as much money as you can make. That's the way it works with honey, and I guess because they don't last for that long, so you sell them for whatever you can. So based on this, the Beis Yossi says things that do not have a set price are not subject to the laws of Ona'a. So based on that, anything that would have not have a set price, like a used car. Well, used cars don't have a set price. Because even though, I know, because even you can have the same year, but this one has this thing, and that one has more mileage, this one was highway mileage, this was everyone's individual. There's no set price for a used car. A new car, maybe there is a manufacturer's list price, which is the same. But a used car certainly has no set price. So based on this Beis Yosef, that you can get gypped on a used car and you can't get your money back because it's not subject to Onah. Jewelry, I don't think, has a set price. A diamond ring. Right? Everyone's different. I don't think there's a set price for a diamond ring. You're the same one, it could look the same, but there's a range. It's not clear what, like, it's one, anything that's one of a kind. You sell something used, you sell your used sofa. Right? There's no set price for a used sofa because they're all different. So these types of things, according to the Beis Yosef, say, are not subject to the laws of Onara. The Bach, though, says the Beis Yosef's proof from the Gemara B'Metziah is very difficult. And the whole thing is such a bit chiddush to say that all the halachas of Onah should not apply in all these cases. Like, it's a big chiddush. He says Onah applies to anything that you sell. You're not allowed to defraud someone. It's a pasul osono ish esachir. You can't defraud someone. The matter is whether there's a set price on it or not. You can't. If you know that this car sells for $10,000, you can't charge $15,000 for it just because, well, some people sell for $11, some sell it for $9. It's not so clear. There's no such thing. What do you do with the Gemara B'Metziah? Why doesn't the Gemara B'Metziah say that it's subject to Onah? So the Bach says very simply, because the sugya B'Metziah is in Perek Ezehu Neshef, which is teaching the halachas of ribbis. And the whole point of the Gemara there is to say that it's mutter to make such a sale, and it's not subject to the halachas of ribbis. And there's no prohibition of selling something with an interest. You might say, well, the milk's not here yet, and if I give the money to him now, and I don't, so it's like I'm lending him the money, then he's paying me back the milk later. Maybe it's interest. So the halacha is, since the shar hasn't come up yet, there's no shaila of ribbis. That's the chiddush. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. And the Gemara is not dealing with the halachas of Onah, so that's why it doesn't tell you that this, that it would be subject to the halachas of Onah, because for sure it would be. The Bach says there's no such heter to say that things that don't have a set price are not subject to the laws of Onah. The raya from Rav Metziah is a very difficult raya. The Shach agrees with the Bach, and it's the Siman Reish Tes, and all the Nosei Kalim and the Shulchan Aruch there, the Shach, the Ber Hagola, the Taz, the Gra, the Nesivis, they all agree with the Bach that there is no, that there's no difference between items that have a set price or items that have a price range. In all cases, the halachas of Onah do apply. Right? It doesn't make a difference whether it's a set price, like the times of Chazal where they had set prices, or nowadays if there would be such a thing, subsidies, or like there was in 40 years ago, 30 years ago, they had for inflation, they had, what's it called, price controls, right? It wouldn't make a difference. In all cases, you're not allowed to cheat someone. If the thing is not worth that much, you're not allowed to, it is an issue, you're not allowed to sell it for more, and if you do sell it for more than one-sixth of what it's worth, so the halacha is he can return it. The Machne Ephraim brings a raya. The Machne Ephraim says the halacha is, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, but we paskin in Simen Reish Chav Zayin. The halacha is that if you sell a Sefer Torah, if you sell a Sefer Torah is subject to the halachas of Onah. That there is a is there is Isra Onah, and there it is subject to Onah by a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is certainly something that every Sefer Torah is different. There's no such thing as Sefer Torah is worth this amount. Each one's written with a different amount of hidur, the way the letters are made, and then you get into the kavanas, the way the cloth is made, the atzei chayim. A Sefer Torah certainly has unique value, and still we paskin that the halachas of Onah apply to a Sefer Torah. So the Machan Ephraim says also it's a clear raya like the Bach that there's no difference between the type of item you're selling. Right, so that seems to be pretty clear. I mean, there is a shaila. We always have the shaila. You could say kimli. If you did sell it, could you say kimli? I hold like that Beis Yosef. It's a Beis Yosef. But it seems that it's most of the poskim seem to disagree with the Beis Yosef. We were talking the Shach, the Taz, the Agola, the Gra, the Nesivas, the Machan Ephraim. We'll see there. Rosh Hashanah in a second. They all seem to disagree, so it'd be a little bit hard to say kimli, and the Pischei Choshen says that it's a shaila if you could say kimli in a case where we're talking about something that's usur. If it's just a shaila of who owes the money, so then you could say, I hold like this man do amar, and I could keep my money. Hamasim echaveh alav araya. But to say kimli when it's a shaila of, did I do an isur? Because Onah is usur. So I hold like the Beis Yosef that's not prohibited to cheat you. How, what right do you have to do that? Kimli is only a shaila by money, not by something that's usur. Right, so that's one set of cases, but then there's a whole other set of cases. Right, common cases, you could think of common cases we have where there is not a set price. Right, and that would be like the case of the urn. I just want to talk that there's two, we really have two types of items we're talking about here. There are two types of things that don't have a set price. The first are the ones we've been talking about until now, where there's each one's unique in its own certain way. A used car, a used sofa, a Sefer Torah. Right? They're each unique in their own way, and you can price it. There could not be a set price on them because there's such a range of hidur, the way they're made. They talk about esrogim, could be like that. There's no way of making a set price. Right, then there are, then there's this, maybe the more relevant shaila, or more prevalent shaila, is the case of the coffee urn that we started with. A coffee urns made by General Electric, number, serial number 2342, they're all the same. Each store has the same exact thing, the same exact box, and there might even be a manufacturer's suggested retail. But yet, you go to different stores, and they're different prices. Right, there could be different prices. Nowadays, there are no price controls. There's no sha'ar on anything. Right, so that's a second type of item that doesn't have a sha'ar. But the first type we're talking about things that, by their nature, can't be limited to a certain price. By nature, their used car can't have a set price. Then there are things that, by nature, could have a set price. It's just that the way our commerce goes, we don't fix prices on things. We have capitalism, we let people compete, and there is a range of prices, and this, the same item could be $1.49, $1.59, $1.69, right, someone's saying like sodas. Right, it could be 99 cents in one store, and 50, like a can of soda. Right, in one store it could be 20 cents, in another store it could be $1.50, depending where you go, where you are. Right, so does this machlokus apply here also? Will the dinim of Onah apply in such cases? So there the Aruch HaShulchan on the handout seems to say, based on the Beis Yosef, that it will not apply in such cases. He says if there's types of merchandise that all the different stores sell the same merchandise except they have different prices, so there he says Onah doesn't apply there. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. But the Aruch Shai says clearly not like that. He says the way he has a shaila, which I think is the prevalent shaila that comes up all the time. He says, suppose there's something every storekeeper sells it at the price he can get from the buyer. He might even mean that, you know, you don't have price tags on it, and depending on what the buyer is wearing when he walks in, that's what you charge. Right? You charge what you can get. He looks like... if I say any examples, I'm not saying anything Lamaisa. That's also... I didn't say that in the disclaimer, but I'm not saying anything Lamaisa, you know, if I say cases. I'm just saying possibilities, but anything that happened to me or anyone that I know, is certainly is not Nogeya. So don't think that, oh, that's that guy. Cases, but there are cases where I'm reading the Erev Shai. The seller tries to get what he can from each one that comes in. Right? You can go to certain types of stores. You're in a foreign country, say, and right, you go to Eretz Yisrael and you feel that they took advantage of you because you look like you were a rich American. And if you were an Israeli, he might have given a different price. Or, you know, you spoke Yiddish or English or Ivrit, your Havara was different, and you think that the price is different. Right, there are things like that. The store tries to get whatever they can from the buyer. So he had a question, in such a case, do the dinim of Anah apply? And the Erech Shai paskins that the Shach says clearly that the halachas of Anah apply. And he brings a proof, because we know that there's a rule that Ona does not apply to karka, does not apply to real estate. We'll have a whole shiur exactly the rules, but in general, Ona, the halachas of Ona do not apply to real estate. It's a special pasuk that says miyada misecha, from your hand, something that goes miyad liyad, but not real estate. So the Erev Shai says there's real estate. Certainly, if you're selling real estate, there's different values depending on you try to get what you can. When you're selling a house, you'll sell it differently depending on how much you can get. And if not for the pasuk, we would say that the halacha of Anah applies. So the Erech Shai says, you see from this, that the halacha of Anah applies even where there's not a set price in the stores. And the Pesach Choshen says, it seems like the Erech Shai is, we should be choshes like the Erech Shai. So we'll get to that. So until now we've discovered, hopefully, at least I think, we've discovered that in these two types of items that don't have a set price, either the item by its very nature doesn't have a set price, like a sefer Torah, right, or we said used car, things like that, so then the halachas of Anah still apply based on all those poskim. And the second type of thing where it's by its nature, it could have a set price, but it just happens that depending on which store you go to, they have different prices. Even there, the Erech Shai says the halachas of Anah apply. Now, how do you do Anah? That we'll see in a second. I just want to point out that everyone seems to agree that if it's a one-of-a-kind item, suppose you're selling, you know, the original manuscript of Rashi with his handwriting on it, right? An antique. Something that's one-of-a-kind, right? The chair that Rashi sat on in the Beis Medrash. Something that's truly one of a kind. So there, everyone agrees, I think, that I saw, that there's no din of Onah. Because how can you say, well, the Rambam's Ksav Yah sold for $10,000, so Rashi's should, you know, everything's unique. Something that's truly unique, one of a kind, a true one of a kind antique, that there's no Onah. You can sell it for whatever price you can get for it, because there's no standard price, there's nothing. So we're talking about things that are not one of a kind, but either by their nature it's hard to pin down a price, or, like nowadays in capitalism, the way things are, there's no set prices for things. So in those cases, that's where Ona applies. So now, how do you determine when you were defrauded? So I saw that it seems that the contemporary post can have two methods. The Mishpatei Torah, Rav Shvitz, who we speak out all the time, he says, an example, you have a store, you have a store that's selling this item, one store sells it for 45 shkolim, the other for 48, the other for 52, the other for 55. So he says, since each store is within 1/6 of the other one, so no one did an Isser of Anah, and if the highest was 55 and you want to add less than a 6 onto that 55, that also won't be Anah. As long as they're within 1/6 of each other, and if it was too cheap, as long as it's within 1/6 of that 45, the lowest, you're in that range, there's no halacha of Anah, and that's how you determine. You go take a poll, see what the price range is, you see, make a list, and as long as they're all within 1/6 of each other, there's no Anah. the Pisrei Choshen says that's difficult. I also find it a little difficult, because what that means is, I don't know how he would deal with this, but you could get two storekeepers together. Right, the guy who's 52 and 55. So the 55 one tells 52, tell you what, tomorrow raise yours to 59, and then the next day I'll make mine 62, and then you can make yours 65, and we'll have, we can, the Hector, make our prices higher, and make us some deal. Like, why should it, it's like arbitrary that it should depend on, just take the lowest and the highest and say everywhere in between is okay. So Pisrei Choshen says that you have to go by Rov. What do most stores sell it for? What do most stores sell a Coke for? Do they sell it for 99 cents? That's what most stores sell it for? So then you have to be within a sixth. This is like, these are big halachas. And not only is it also to sell it for more, it's also to buy it for more, because you're over the naiver. I mean, we'll talk about that more in the future. But these are Isurim Daraisa, which should apply in all these cases, because we're saying that on any item other than a unique one-of-a-kind item, the halachas of Anah apply. And they're applying either, like the Mishpatei Torah says, you just, it has to be within that range, or like Pisrei Choshen says, he says that it has, you go by what Rov, there's a Shaila, that another one of these farms say, what happens if the Rov, most stores sell it for 99 cents, but the big store, who sells more than all the other ones put together, sells it for 89 cents, right? So how do you go by Rov? Now, there's a third method in the Mishpatei, this first paper I quoted the whole Shaila from, he says, make an appraisal, you have to estimate what it's worth in the market, what the market price is, make an estimation. I don't know what the real halach will be, and I don't think that's Nogeya Lamaisa at all either, how to know how to make the exact sixth. Because nowadays, for sure, the exact 1/6 rule doesn't apply, because there's a range. How do you know whether it's more than a sixth? So, I don't know, but the halacha l'maaseh that we should take from this is, if we're selling something, we're selling a used sofa, we're selling something, there's a halacha not to overcharge, not to say, well, there's no set price where I could charge whatever the market will bear, or whatever I can get for it. Because he doesn't know what a used car is worth, then I can sell it for whatever I want. Or these other cases, my sofa, the chickens, the sodas, whatever it is, I'll get whatever I can for it. That's us in the Raisa. How exactly you measure it, is it, you know, that method or this method, the other method, that's hard to know. You know, it's the contemporary poskim, it's hard to know, because this is a new Shiloh capitalism. How do you judge it? So they each have a different way of looking at it. But they all seem to be saying that the laws of Anah apply, which means that we have to be careful when we're selling something or buying something to make sure the price is right. So that we already said there were two parts of the Shiloh. The first Shiloh was, do the halachas apply nowadays? So I think we discovered that they do. And so we take away that common misconception that the laws of Anah do not apply nowadays. They certainly do apply in almost all cases. Not by real estate, not by unique one-of-a-kind items, but by metatlin, by anything movable, the laws of Anah apply not only to storekeepers, but also to you selling, us selling our own items that we want to sell. The halachas apply. But how about this taina, the second taina that the storekeeper had? The second storekeeper said, everyone knows I'm a specialty shop, and everything at my store costs more than other stores, so therefore I have a right to sell it more. And we know that. You go to, in Eretz Yisrael, it seems like the supermarkets, he says, sell things more expensive. Right? And so that's the shot that they talk about there. In Eretz Yisrael, it's more convenient, and so things are more expensive at supermarkets. So the Shiloh, they ask, do the supermarkets have a right to sell things at the higher price? Here I think it's the other way. Supermarkets sell things cheaper, and the smaller shops sell things more, because they say that you're getting special service, Fali is saying that, they're saying we have more employees, we have bigger overhead, we don't buy in as big a quantity, so we have to charge more. Is there validity to that claim? Is there validity to say, okay, I know the halachas of Anah apply nowadays, but I have reasons for selling it at more expensive price? Right, so there, it seems that the consensus of the contemporary poskim is that there is a legitimate reason to do that. If the reason you're charging more is because you're offering a better service, yeah, more employees that will help the buyer choose or decide, or the shoe store will give him a better size. So same shoe will sell more in that store, the smaller store, because they have a person who is able to fit it perfectly, than if you go to a department store, a closeout store, an outlet, and buy it cheaper. So there they have a right to sell it for more, because they say, we're offering you better service. We're offering you free cookies when you come in. That's reason to, right, like the motels, they sell more because they give you special things. There's nice music that makes your kids relax. There's a place for the children to play when they walk in. So all these things, if they're offering a different, it's a different situation, so then it's like they're offering a different product. So even though the coffee urn might be the same, but it's not only the coffee urn you're buying. You're buying the coffee urn plus that employee who's helping you choose which one you want to buy. And you're paying for the play area for the children to play while you're looking for that coffee urn. If there's a discernible gain from the person going to that store, so then the laws of Anah won't apply because it's a different type of store. It'll apply if you have two stores like that. You have two specialty stores down the street from each other, and they're both giving the same service, so then they have to be within 1/6 of each other, or they'll be Anah there. But if they're 30%, 40% higher than the other stores, they have the right to be, because they say they're offering better service. Right, so that seems to be a consensus. Yeah, so the halachas of Anah apply to that place and to that time. Right, you can't say, well, the prices of swimming pools now should be the same as they were in the summer, or the prices of snow shovels should be the same in the summer as now. You have to depend on the season. In fact, they have a shaila. Suppose at the end of the season, everyone puts the snow shovels on sale, and you want to keep your snow shovel at the same price. So do we say the price of snow shovels is now $5 and you can't keep it at $9 because everyone's making the half price and the price went down? Or do we say, well, the price really is $9 and they just don't want to store them, so that's why they're getting rid of them cheap? So there are two ways of looking at that. But we're talking in the same neighborhood, the same city, the same neighborhood, right? That'll be the difference also. If you have one store that you have to go out 30 miles to get to, and the other is more convenient, so the one that's more convenient has the right to say, look, we're open 24 hours. Maybe that might be another heter to be able to charge more. But in general, it has to be something that there's reason for you to charge more. Not the fact that, well, it's hot out and I can charge more for the Coke. That's, the prices don't go up then. I mean, you're just taking advantage of the other people.
Yeah,
so if it's because you went out to a big crowd, a big Hafnasa Sefer Torah crowd, and you went there and sold it, and it's hard, it's not like in normal circumstances, then maybe you have a right to sell it more. Or a Yiddle League game, right? It's not a normal circumstance. But if it's a regular store, it's in the same mall, and they're all together, and they all have the same product, it's hard for one to say that we're better unless they are offering a different product. I mean, the same Coke, but the surroundings make it different. Now, if they say, you know why we have to charge more? It's because we didn't get such a good deal as the other store in our rent. We pay a higher rent than the other one down the mall. Or we got gypped. The wholesaler sold it too high to us, and we want to pass on that loss to our customers. The poskim seem to say that you can't do that. I didn't see anyone that said you could. The poskim say that this whole heter of being able to sell it more is if you're offering a better product. And I was just at the supermarket. You could get everything in one place, so you can charge more because it's more convenient for you. Or like I was saying in here, in Golos, where the specialty store gives you better service possibly. So they can say, we're giving you a better service. But if it's the same service you're getting, it's just that the seller happens to have extra expenses which don't help you any. It's because he's paying a higher rent, doesn't help you any. It's the same mall, he just got a worse deal. And if his higher rent is because it's nicer carpet to walk on, or it's, so then you got a savings, you got a gain from the fact that he paid extra. But if his extra expenses don't add anything to your purchasing, it doesn't help you any. It doesn't make a difference. It's the same Coke no matter where you buy it, and there's no difference. The only difference is that you're helping support him marrying off his children, or helping pay his tuitions, or helping him because he got gypped and he made a bad deal, and you're helping him recover his loss. So he has no right to take that out on you. In conclusion, it seems that the halachas of Anah do apply to items that don't have a set price, whether they're the type of items which by their nature can't have a set price, or whether it's like in America where things don't have set prices because every store sells it a few cents off. Still, the halachas of Anah apply. We said that they probably do not apply if it's a one-of-a-kind item, a unique antique, that there's nothing else like it, so then they will not apply. So the halachas of Anah apply. How do they apply? How do you measure when you got overpriced, when you can return it? So we had different ways of doing it. So if you're not sure, you'll have to ask a shaila, but if you know that it's like really a wrong price, you know that you were wrong, that everyone is selling at 99, then 20, 129, and you ended up paying 159 because you didn't know what it was, so then you could certainly say, I'm subject to Anah, you should have the right to return the item. But more to look at our side of the thing is when we sell something, we want to sell a used item, a safer, you got a better Pnei Yeshua, and you want to sell your old Pnei Yeshua. So what do you sell it for? So, well, this guy looks like he doesn't know that the new one came out, and he doesn't know that the prices of the old ones went down, or the Minchas Chinuch. Like, everyone gives away the Minchas Chinuch now that the new one came out. Right? So, but he doesn't know, it's I'll sell my Minchas Chinuch. It's like brand new, it's two nice volumes, I'll sell it for $20 when no one will spend $5 for it now. So you might say it's okay, but it's not okay because the going rate on the old style Minchas Chinuch, you have to see what the general price is, whether these different methods we had, and we have to stay within that range. And there's no heter saying, look, I didn't realize it. So it's a shogeg if you didn't realize it. But it's incumbent upon us when we sell something to try to find the best as we can what the true market value is, and sell it for that price. We will deal in the future. Is there a way of saying, I'm selling it as is, I'm doing it, will be mochel, either way? Right, we'll talk about that in the future, whether there's ways of getting out of the Isser Anah. But tonight we've discovered that the halachas of Anah are alive and well, even nowadays in America. They apply to things that have set prices, things that don't have set prices, things that are sold different prices in different places. The laws of Anah do apply, and we have to be careful.